Well, last week, of course, we covered the problems for Germany with their pretty well open door policy for migrants and the difficulties they were experiencing, and particularly in relation to women in the streets. Sweden has the highest record per capita of accepting migrants, and it has been held up to every other country, really, as an example of how to do it. But all does not appear to be well in the Scandinavian country. I'm joined by the columnist and editor-in-chief of the online magazine Kvartal, Paulina Neuding. Paulina, welcome to the programme.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Now, Paulina, we've sort of been lectured in Ireland, because I think we've probably got the worst record in Europe for migrants. We're kind of being lectured by Sweden to say, you're not, and many other countries, you're not doing your fair share. Look at us. Look how good we are. What has the Swedish experience been?
Well, the problem is that we can't really say that to other countries anymore because of the problems that we're experiencing. We've seen a rise in violent crime in Sweden, particularly gang violence and sex crime. And part of it is, especially when it comes to gang violence, is something we can attribute to immigration.
But my understanding also is that where, for instance, and Germany had this experience at various railway stations where women were sexually assaulted, the Swedish police are saying there's been a rise, almost a 300% rise, in rape cases, but they can't afford the time to investigate them properly because they're so involved in trying to break up the gang violence, where some of the gangs are like teenagers with machine guns. Is that true, or is that sort of a story?
Okay, so we don't know exactly how much rape is up because it's difficult to measure. You don't know whether women are reporting to a larger extent now than they used to. So we don't know exactly. But we do know that numbers are up. And the police in Stockholm and in Sweden in general have admitted that there's no time to investigate even the most serious rape cases because they're simply swamped by these gang shootings and explosions.
Now, you say explosions. We're familiar in this country currently in our capital city, Dublin, where we have two gangs shooting each other every week. But we haven't had explosions. What kind of explosions are you talking about?
Well, we have big problems with hand grenades in Sweden, hand grenade attacks. And according to the Swedish police, we stand out in comparison to the rest of the Western world or countries not at war when it comes to these hand grenades. For instance, 2 weeks ago, there were three hand grenade explosions in 1 week. And it's not even something that's necessarily a top headline anymore in Sweden.
Now, the suggestion by my guest last week, who was German, is that there is a sort of government policy that clamps down on people who talk about these migrant problems openly, and that there is a pressure on people to write good news stories. Has that been your experience?
That's definitely been the case. It's more difficult now because of the rising gang and violent crime for the government to deny these problems. I believe that the government assumed for a long time that it would be able to not deal with these problems, not talk about them, because they would never affect the Swedish middle class, the ethnically Swedish middle class. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. These explosions and the shootings don't go unnoticed by the middle class, obviously, and it's becoming a problem for the government.
But the suggestion by countries, and most notably your country, Sweden, and Germany, the suggestion by government, and I've talked to Swedish politicians, look, yeah, we've got a temporary problem here, but this is just that they haven't really integrated, and all we've got to do is get them to integrate a bit better, and hey, presto, everything's fixed. Yes?
I mean, the problems we have now in our suburbs, what we call areas of social exclusion with a euphemism. It's not an effect of the spike in immigration in 2015, but of 3 or 4 decades of immigration. The gang members are mainly second or first generation immigrants. So it's not really true that this is something that disappears over time.
But Scandinavia and Sweden in particular has I mean, you know, as long as I've been alive almost, it's been held out as sort of nirvana. Scandinavians do it better. They have better creches for kids, they have better education systems, women get better equality and so on. Mm-hmm. The kind of story you're saying doesn't fit that perfect picture.
And this is very painful for many Swedes to realize that we're not a country to look up to anymore, at least not in when it comes to crime and when it comes to women's safety. Now, more than a third of young Swedish women say that they don't dare to go outside after dark, for instance, because they're afraid of crime.
I read some of your writings, and one of the things you do talk about, that the problem for women in countries that have large migrant populations is that invariably the migrants are coming from patriarchal societies where women are kept in a more inferior position anyway. So then when they come to countries like Germany and Sweden, where there is very strong equality of gender, they don't fit in very well.
Well, you can't say that generally that immigrants don't fit in. Some do, obviously, but some problems have come with immigration, and that's very clear. For instance, honor violence and even honor killings is something that's a consequence of immigration to Sweden. Same thing with group harassment in swimming pools and at music festivals. It's very clear that there's a link to immigration.
But the movement across Europe, even now, as Angela Merkel tries to put a coalition together with essentially a party of more right-wing views than her own party, you look at Poland, Hungary, Austria, you look across Europe, and the move to the right in politics is striking. And in Denmark, for instance, which is a kind of, almost in a way, was a kind of a buffer zone between Sweden and other parts of Europe. There is a shift to the right in Scandinavia, is there?
There is a shift towards a more open debate on these issues. And that was inevitable because of the size of the problems. But it's interesting for me. I mean, my parents were refugees from Poland. They came to Sweden in the late 60s. And I read Polish, and it's interesting to read Polish newspapers and see how Sweden really isn't a role model anymore. It's something you point to Sweden to show how bad things can turn out. So it's quite sad, actually.
But also, you've written about anti-Semitism, and just this week, for instance, the Polish Senate has essentially said that the Poles didn't have any hand, act, or part in the Holocaust, and in fact, they have taken Auschwitz out of sort of their tourism brochures as such, and saying to people, you know, almost like airbrushing Auschwitz out of their tourism circuit. What about anti-Semitism in Sweden? Does the migrant movement create that or not?
Well, we had a firebombing of the synagogue in Gothenburg in December, I believe, and another attack against the Jewish community in Malmo. And same thing there. We see a very clear link to immigration and to immigrants from the Middle East who take anti-Semitism with them to Sweden. It's really becoming an issue for Swedish Jews.
Well, finally, and my guest, remember, is Paulina Neuding, who's the editor-in-chief of the online magazine Kvartal in Sweden. Finally, Paulina, I mean, Swedes and Swedes like you, who are a second generation from Polish refugees, is it a very pessimistic time now for Swedes, or is there an optimism, as some of your politicians are saying, that integration can fix it all?
Well, I don't think integration can fix it all, but I'm optimistic about the fact that they're starting slowly to take these issues seriously and to address them in a serious way. We have something in Sweden called the opinion corridor, so people are afraid or reluctant to express their opinions about immigration and integration, and this is slowly beginning to change. People are speaking more openly and discussing these problems seriously. So that's a reason for optimism, I think.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me. That was, as I said, the editor-in-chief of the online magazine Kvartal in Sweden, Paulina Neuding. Paulina, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.